As you know, this is Vacation Bible School week, and you can tell the platform's a little different than normal. But you know what? I really liked it. I think I'm thinking of keeping that. What do you think? I'll just sit up there all the time, and we'll have our services like that. No? You don't like that? Okay, we won't do it. All right. You're no fun. All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. And as you're turning there, we want to welcome Offie. We're glad to have you here. And Janelle, good to have you both here. Praise the Lord for you. I hope you enjoy your time and come back and be with us as often as you can. You're always welcome. We're in Malachi, Old Testament book, chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 for you. And I'm going to try to have a short message tonight because the VBS kids will be coming up. And I think the king might even show up. So we want to, you know, give him plenty of time. So you might, if you want to stay around and meet King Edric, you're more than welcome to do that. He'll be here sometime later. Okay, Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we come together in the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for this place. We thank you for these people who are here tonight. We thank you for those who are watching online and those who are listening on the radio, and pray you might speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit through your word. I pray, my Lord, that you might open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person to receive what you have for us tonight. Help us to have eyes to see, hearts to understand, and minds to receive the truth, that you might help us in these last days. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The prophet Malachi, in writing to the nation of Israel, rebukes them for their neglect of true worship and calls them to repentance. In chapter 3, the first two verses have an allusion to the coming of John the Baptist and the first coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, the prophet gives prophecy of his coming. When he says in these verses, "I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me," he's speaking of John the Baptist. When he says, "and the Lord whom ye seek," he's speaking of their awaiting of the Messiah. And when he says, "shall suddenly come to his temple," he's referring to that coming of Jesus. Many times Jesus went to the temple. And then when he says, "the messenger of the covenant he's speaking here is the New Testament. However, when he did come, when Jesus came, when the Messiah came, we know what happened. John 1:11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." You see, Malachi here, in these first two verses, kind of blends the first and second comings of Christ. The time of the Gentiles, the church age, was unseen to the Jewish people. And they were looking for that second coming as the first coming. And when he came as the first coming, as the Savior, they missed him. We see in verse 1 the first coming, and we see in verse 2 the second coming. But we see the Lord Jesus in both verses. He is described in verse 2 as a refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. And I want to look at that just a little bit tonight, the fuller's soap and the refiner's fire. Number one, the fuller's soap. Now, what is the fuller's soap? Who is a fuller? What is a fuller? Well, a fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R, was one whose job it was to cleanse and whiten cloth using a very powerful and pungent cleansing agent or soap. And so that's how they got their clothes and their cloth really clean. They took it to the fuller, and it was his job to get the stains out. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is likened in this verse unto fuller's soap. He is therefore a cleansing agent, is he not? Mankind in the scripture is portrayed as being defiled by our sin. And it says that all our righteousness in Isaiah 64:6 are as filthy rags. There are seen in the Bible several things that can make the unclean clean, the scarlet white, and the unrighteous righteous. Let's look at those. Number one, we have the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ washes the sinner from his or her sins. Revelation 1:5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, here it comes, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." The reason Jesus had to shed his blood on Calvary's cross is because he's the only human being since the fall of Adam who walked planet earth, who was sinless, and therefore had sinless blood to shed on our behalf to pay for our sins. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And here's the picture of those tribulation believers who received Christ as their Savior, and many of them were martyred, and they were washed from what? From their sins. They were washed from their sins. How? It says here, in the blood of the Lamb. And so we find that the blood of Christ is a cleansing agent that cleanses the sinner from their sin when they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Number two, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God cleanses the believer in our daily life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Number three, another cleansing agent in the Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God cleanses the believer's way. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 119, verse 9, David said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And then he says this, "By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." You see, you have to take heed to the Word of God. Many people read their Bible, but they don't live what they read. They don't heed what they read. They just read it as if it's some kind of rabbit's foot or a good luck charm. No, it's the Word of God. And He has given us His Word so that as we read it, it shows us, this is the way, walk in it, and a young man can cleanse his way by taking heed to the instructions that he gets in the Word of God. Amen. Listen, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Christian life. I mean, I was a rock and roll musician. I was a beer drinker, a dope smoker, all that stuff. And I got saved. And all of a sudden, I started reading the Bible. And guess what happened to my ways? My ways started being cleaned up. Why? Because I saw in the Bible what God wanted, what He expected, what He said for me to do, what He told me not to do. And then the Holy Spirit of God gave me the power to walk in the clean ways. So Jesus cleansed me from my sin. The Word of God shows me the clean way, and the Holy Spirit of God enables me to walk in the clean way. In John chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus said, "Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." And so we have the Word of God. You know, the blood of Christ cleanses the sinner, the Spirit of God keeps the believer clean, and the Word of God instructs the believer how to walk in the way of cleanliness. Let's go to point number two. It said He's the fuller's soap, but it also says He's like the refiner's fire. Now, the refiner was one who would apply heat to ore taken from the earth, which would melt the precious metal, such as gold or silver or lead or whatever. And the impurities that were part of the ore taken out of the earth, as the precious metal melted, the impurities would float to the top and they would skim off the impurities, and it would leave a product that was a metal of finer quality. There are several in the Bible that are likened unto fire. And their effect on the believer is that of making the believer purer and of a finer quality. Number one, the Word of God. The Word of God is like a fire that kindles in our heart a desire to be pure. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" In Jeremiah 20, verse 9, the Bible says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name," here it comes, "but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." So Jeremiah the prophet is saying, you know, the word of God, when it gets in you, it's like a fire. Number two, the Spirit of God. Sounds familiar to the Fuller Soap, doesn't it? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is a fire that produces power in the heart of the believer. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me." Now, where is the power? The power comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Listen, the disciples could have never gone out into the world to preach the gospel like they did without the power of the Holy Spirit. Christians today could not go to the ends of the earth as missionaries and put up with the deprivations and the things that they have to put up with to be there if it were not for the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Christians cannot live the Christian life like God wants them to live it if it's not for the power of the Holy Spirit of God that lives within them. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The Spirit of God is not only the fire that fires us up, it is the fire that illuminates the Word of God to the believer. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Seven lamps of fire representing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a fire. You see, the Word of God is a fire. Number three, the messenger of God is a fire. God's prophets and preachers are a fire in the pulpit to heat up the believers. Jeremiah 5:14. "Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." So here, the word of God coming forth from the mouth of the prophet was like a fire. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits," here it comes, "and his messengers a flame of fire." Now, sooner or later, if you're going to church, if you're going to a church where the Bible's preached, sooner or later, it's going to burn you. Sooner or later, you're going to say, "Ouch." Sooner or later, you're going to be going, "Ooh, ooh, 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 ooh." Why? Because it's getting hot, right? Amen. Because the preaching of the Word of God convicts us. Amen. And challenges us. Because God wants to change us. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear? Without a preacher. And so the messengers of God are like a fire that God sends. You know, sometimes you'll come in and I'll have a nice little message and it'll be comforting. And everybody will be comforted. Now, it doesn't happen very often, but once in a while I'll have a nice comforting message. Other times I come in here with a flamethrower. Amen? Tonight's a little snippet, but sometimes you have the flamethrower and sometimes you have the comforter, you know, the comforting message. All depends on what God knows people need. I think in any message, really, any good Bible message, there's both. In any good Bible message, there ought to be some fire and there ought to be some comfort. There ought to be convicting and there ought to be some comfort. all the comfort and the convicting are designed to bring about change in the believer's life. And so the messenger. And number four, here's something else that the Bible likens unto a fire. The trials of life. You see, life's trials are often used of the Lord to refine us and purify us as the fire does the ore. Now, I've thought about this. And when that ore is taken out of the ground and it's put in that refiner's fire, it can't be very pleasant. Amen? I mean, it gets pretty hot. And I can just hear the ore groaning and complaining that it's so hot in this refiner's furnace. But when the product is finished and the dross has been scraped away and the metal is of a purer and finer quality, it's worth it all. Nobody likes trials. I don't like trials. I'm sure you don't like trials. But God uses trials to refine us, to teach us, to develop us, to mature us. Think about it. If we didn't have any trials in life, we'd be even worse spoiled brats than we are. Huh? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth. God's saying this. You, as human beings, will take the time to put gold through the refining process of a fiery trial. He said, you're much more valuable than gold. He said, your refining is more valuable than refining of gold. You becoming a better, finer quality is more important than gold. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what? He says as he matures us through trials and he challenges us and changes us through trials, we become purer, we become finer, and we bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Listen to that verse. Now, most of us, when we're having a fiery trial, we're always saying, why? Why? And I understand that. He said, but don't think it's strange that you go through fiery trials. He said, our trials, now he's talking to Christians, talking to believers, our trials, it says here, insomuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering. When you suffer as a Christian, you're partaking of Christ's sufferings. When you're persecuted as a Christian, you're partaking of Christ's sufferings. When you're going through a deprivation because of taking a stand for righteousness and godliness and the Word of God, and you suffer for that, that's part of his sufferings. Because if he was still here, he'd be the one suffering. But he's not here. We're here. And the Bible says we are his body. And he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so those trials of life can be that refining fire. So what cleanses us? Well, the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sin. The Holy Spirit enables us to walk in the way of the Word, which is a clean way. What refines us? The Word of God refines us. The Spirit of God refines us. The messengers of God refine us. And the trials of life refine us, purify us. And point number three, not only did we have the fuller soap and the refiner's fire, but I want to look at the Messiah. The Messiah is described in both the Old and New Testaments as both white and fire. Light and fire. When he uses the word white, what's he talking about? He's talking about that fuller's soap. Remember that. The fuller's soap. You know, you get a stain on a shirt. You wear a white shirt, you get a stain. I had on a shirt the other day, it was blue, and I got a stain, a green, and I got a stain on it. I don't want a stain on my shirt. Walk around with a stain on your shirt. What do you want to do with it? You want to get it clean, right? You want to get that spot out. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, Daniel says this, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, here it comes, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels are burning fire. Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. Speaking of Christ, and his head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, obviously, the garment of that's white as snow and the hairs white like wool are alluding to the fuller and his soap. Jesus is the purest of the pure. He is the altogether sinless one. And obviously the throne, like fire, the wheels as burning fire, and the eyes as a flame of fire, are alluding to the refiner's fire. And we see the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will meet all of His saints at His judgment seat in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What are we talking about? We're talking about that fuller soap that though you're, that makes the garments that were stained clean. We're talking about the refiner's fire that purifies. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, speaking to those who are born again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, this is called the judgment seat of Christ. It's where every believer will appear one day. And it will be a judgment by fire. But not of the believer. It's not a judgment of the believer. That took place when you trusted Christ as your Savior. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment by fire of our works. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, with he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Listen. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, nobody's just going to skate right into heaven. The way's paid. The way has been paid. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no doubt that we're going to heaven. But before we get into heaven, the life we lived here will come under the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. As to what kind of a Christian life it was, what it was full of, what the motivations were, what was the heart. And if it's pure, then the fire, it'll pass through the fiery gaze of those eyes. But if they were impure, they'll be burned away. Now, for that which passes through the fire, the Bible says we get a reward. But for that which is burned up, we lose reward. Yet, it says, he himself shall be saved. And that phrase, yet so as by fire, means even though he's going through this fiery judgment, he is saved. All his works are not saved because it depends on if they were good or bad, but he himself is. You got that? Okay. That's where all believers appear. All people who are born again. Remember Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you're not born again, you're not even going to see the kingdom of God. No. If you're not born again, if you're watching or you're listening or you're here, if you're not born again, you're going to go to a whole different judgment. You see, this judgment seat of Christ is for those who have been saved, those who have been born again, those whose sins have been forgiven, they've been washed in the blood. You see, unbelievers will meet the same Jesus, but at a different throne. It's called the Great White Throne, and it is a throne of judgment. Look with me in Revelation chapter 20. Let's go there just for a minute. Revelation chapter 20. We're looking at this throne, this Great White Throne judgment. Now, this judgment isn't a judgment of the works, but the sinner. Just the opposite. You see, those who appear at the judgment seat of Christ, their sins are paid for, their sins are forgiven, they're not judged for their sin, they're just judged for their lives and the works that they produced, whether they were good or bad. Now we go to this judgment, it's just backwards. All their works are bad. There's none righteous, no, not one. All our righteousness, Isaiah says, are filthy rags. So their works are not going to get them in. It's a judgment of them themselves. Now listen what it says. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. What does that mean? What do you mean they're judged according to their works? Yeah. All their works are going to condemn them. They don't have any good works. Because the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And then it says this. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. There it is again. See, everybody, here's what's going to happen. There are people, just like I did before I got saved, people that believe their good deeds would outweigh their bad deeds. Well, I'll get before God, and he'll put all my good deeds on this scale and all my bad deeds on that scale. And surely my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds, right? I mean, I'm not that bad. I never murdered anybody, never robbed a bank, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, the Bible's saying here, they're going to be judged according to their works, and there are no good works. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And look what it says in verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Here it comes. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Did you get the point? There's the book of works. And then there's the book of life. This is the one that counts. The book of life. And if your name isn't in the book of life, you're not going to heaven. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. How do you get in the book of life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. The only way to be in the book of life is to have eternal life. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So here are the people who never trusted Christ, they never believed and received him as their Savior, and therefore their name is not in the book of life. And all the works that they were depending on are going to let them down, because it's not what's in the book of works to get you into heaven. It's if your name's in the book of life. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Amen. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Listen, not of works, lest any man should boast. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, it's a throne of purity. That's why it's called white. Judging the sinner and his or her sin. And the fire mentioned here is not one of the refining and purifying, but a fire of punishment. A fire that cannot cleanse. It's called the lake of fire. It has no power to cleanse. You see, the only way for a sinner to be forgiven is to be cleansed of his or her sin, is to be washed in the blood. For blood alone has the power of the fuller's soap to make the scarlet white as snow, not to cover the stain of sin, but to remove it altogether. And everyone on planet Earth will appear at one of these two judgment thrones of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the judgment seat of Christ, all go to heaven. From the great white throne judgment, all go to the eternal lake of fire. What's the difference? What we did with Jesus, the Messiah that came, who was like a fuller's soap and a refiner's fire. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's how important Jesus is. He's the difference between heaven and hell. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Tonight, as we think about these things, I want to ask those of you who are saved, you know you're saved, you know you've trusted Christ, you've been born again. That's something you know. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So you're washed in the blood, you have eternal life. How's life going? Are your ways clean? Are you in the Word? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are your works gold, silver, and precious stones? Or are your works wood, hay, and stubble? Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been born again. You've never been saved. I mean, I'm not saying you haven't been religious or haven't gone to church. You might even be baptized. I'm asking you if you're born again. Listen, you have nothing to offer to God because you're a sinner, unclean and lost. You will die and spend eternity in the lake of fire unless you see the Lord Jesus Christ as God the Savior and trust Him to forgive your sins and save your soul. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Will you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and save your soul tonight? If not, why? Maybe there's someone here in this room tonight that would say, preacher, I need to be saved. I know that. I need to be born by the Spirit of God. You can be right where you sit in the privacy of your own heart and mind. It's just you and the Lord. My dear friend, we can pray together and you can ask Jesus to forgive your sins and save you right now, right here. You say, preacher, I'd like to do that. Then let's do it. Raise your hand and just let me know if you're here tonight. Just say, preacher, I'm right here. I don't want to die and go to hell. I know I need to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Anybody like that here today? Slip your hand up. Let me see it. We'll just pray right where you're seated. If you're watching or you're listening, please don't put it off. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Listen, folks, there are people who had plans for today, but they died yesterday. Don't make a plan to get saved. Get saved. And get saved now before it's eternally and tragically too late. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that Jesus is like that fuller's soap and that refiner's fire. He cleanses us from our sin as the fuller's soap, and He refines us day by day. We grow, we mature, we progress in our Christian walk. Thank you, my Lord, for being these things to us. And Father, I pray for anyone in this place and anyone that's watching or listening that needs to come to Jesus, the fuller's soap, to be washed from their sin and made a child of God. Give them the grace and the strength and the concern and the courage to get saved tonight. May you be glorified in it all. Bless the invitation. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 540. Number 540, Almost Persuaded. Well, I hope you won't. If you're almost persuaded, I hope you'll be persuaded tonight. It doesn't do any good to just know about Jesus. You need to know Jesus as your Savior. And if you're here tonight and you'd like to come and talk to somebody about being saved, just step out of your place and meet me here. We have folks that will sit with you and show you from the Bible how you can know absolutely, positively, for sure, you're going to heaven before you walk out that door. If you're a Christian and you're saved and you want to come and talk to the Lord about that refiner's fire, something in your life that needs to be taken away, why don't you come as we sing on the first.